seeking God to help us understand what they mean and how they apply to our lives. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. In chapter 3 and verse 4, here speaking about the qualifications of a man to be a leader in the church, it says he must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Amen. Father, we bow together now and confess that we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. We confess that our hearts are made glad because Christ has brought life and liberty and joy into our hearts. He's brought a real future of glory and eternity with you. And we want to thank you today, Lord, that we who have been slaves to sin and wickedness are now been set free. And we love you because we are free in Christ. Meet us now in the Spirit. Lift the veil over hearts that have been weighted down this week, and help us to see clearly and to understand clearly. And then grant great grace for us to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' great name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you. Our subject for today is managing the Christian home. Managing the Christian home. And I actually want to give credit where credit is due here. Kayla asked me a question following the sermon last week. And as I interacted with her, I realized that I probably need to interact with you a little bit more, too. And so I want to thank her for that. And I want to encourage you likewise that we function together as a body when we do exactly that. It's the same thing as in your family, all right? And so God helps me to know where we are as a church when you talk to me, when you talk to us, right? I realized that I needed to pursue this topic at least one more time today. And so we'll think through it together, and I hope to make the matter even clearer for you as we think about managing the Christian home. Now, you might remember that last week, as we were considering mothers and the role of mothers and the reason that mothers ought to have joy, we saw that it's God who makes the Christian mother joyful in Psalm 113 and verse 9, right? And as we unpacked that verse, we saw one part of the reason is that God provides children for the Christian mother. That's a part of the joy. We also saw that God provides a home for the Christian mother to manage. We looked at this very verse that we're contemplating today. A part of the joy for a Christian mother is that God has given her a home to manage. We also saw that then because God has done this for the Christian mother should praise the Lord joyfully. And the Christian mother should praise the Lord faithfully because he is always faithful. Yes? And so praise shouldn't be fickle and have ebbs and flows. Our praise should be faithful because God is faithful. But as a result of the conversation that I had with Kayla and actually thinking the matter through, this is the question that I want to answer today and I want us to think about. Who manages the Christian home? Who manages the Christian home? We've looked at two verses that both say that male and female should manage the Christian home. Husband and wife. And so let's think about this together. Because we do believe that God is not the author of confusion, yes? Amen. And we do believe that what he says is true. And so, because God says this, then it's up to us to determine then how a Christian wife and mother manages the home, and how a Christian husband and father manages the home. We just read that they both do, yes? So what we're going to do today then is spend a few minutes understanding this. And you do know that when we understand rightly the Word of God, when we rightly divide the Word of God, it sets us free, yes? And it brings real joy and encouragement and hope. So let's think about this then. As we begin, let's begin by looking at how a Christian wife and mother manages. Now, I want to start with a definition. Why is that, Brother Willie? Because for the Christian, words are significant. Amen. Yes? Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So all words in the Word of God are important to us. So, and I want you to see in particular that if you don't dig a little deeper, you won't understand the meaning. English is a confusing language. And so I'm thankful that God gave the Old Testament in Hebrew. Hebrew is a rather confusing language too. It's real vague. But Greek is precise. And so one of the reasons that we have the New Testament in Aramaic and Greek is that when you dig deeper into the precise words, you find helpful meaning. And I want to show you that today. So when we look at the definition of this word here in our verse, can you get back to our verse? Our verse was 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. Look at the verse again. It says, "So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households." You see that? Now that phrase, "manage their households," is actually one Greek word. Okay? I wrote it out for you phonetically there. Oikodespoteo. Not quite as bad as Perry's word for the name of God, but it's one that you don't be intimidated by the language, because it's our language. God has given it to us. You don't have to know Greek to embrace the fact that it's the language of the Bible, yes? And so I spend a little time with Greek not to impress you, but for you to know that there's real meaning here, okay? Oikodespoteo means to manage one's household or to keep house. Now, many of us who grew up in the South, and you didn't have to grow up in the South, but we heard that the mother is to keep house. We've heard that a lot, right? And we probably didn't know that was biblical. We probably thought that's just an old saying. But that's the Bible says that this is a essential, extremely important charge given to a wife and a mother. Now, here's the other thing I want to say by way of introduction. This is the only place in the Bible the word is used, one time. Now, there are many, many words used in the Bible repeatedly, but this particular word is only used in this one verse and in this particular occasion. So you can't find it anywhere else, right? So this is pretty important to God, would you say? If he uses one verse, one word in one verse for one occasion, then we need to take a few minutes and think about it. So he says to the wife and the mother that this particular exhortation is for all women, but in this particular case, all women that have homes or residences. In this particular case, it is addressed to mothers, okay? So the mother is exhorted to manage her household or to keep her house. So I want to unpack it a little bit by thinking about how does she do that? Okay? How does a mother honor God by managing her household or keeping her house. Now, I'll say this, for those of you who don't think the Old Testament is important, most of the details for what we're about to look at now come from the Old Testament. So when you come to the New Testament like this, you find God giving one verse, one sentence of instruction to a mother. The assumption is you already know the Old Testament. So when I say keep your house, the Old Testament has told you how to do that, okay? And so I'm not going to spend a lot. We could trace all over the Bible and dig up all of the ways that God says a mother should keep her house. But we're going to stay. Fortunately, it's been concisely put together in one proverb that women study over and many times over and over. Proverbs 31. Okay. I want to say one other thing before we move to Proverbs 31. Can you turn to Titus chapter 2, I believe it is? Titus 2 is two books over. You got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then the next book is Titus. Again, many of the women will be familiar with this, but I want everyone to listen to it because I want us to be on the same page. You got Titus chapter 2. What I want you to see here is that the pattern that God has given in the church is for older women to help younger women know how to do this. So the assumption is that older women have learned how to keep their own households or to manage their own households, and the older women will help the younger women learn how to do it. Amen. Now the tragedy is that unfortunately in our society and often in the church, older women haven't taken time to learn how to keep their own households. Therefore, they can't help younger women. Okay? This is serious from God's perspective. Now, I told you last time, God has no problem with the woman working outside the home. But the woman we're going to look at that works outside the home took care of her home first. Yes? Not fussing, we're just trying to understand it, right? We're just trying to understand it. So you got Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. You got verse 4? And to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Amen. You got it? So that's the instruction. In addition to all of the details that we're going to find in the Old Testament, I'm saying to you that older women are charged by God to help younger women with this. Even though the younger woman might read her Bible, that's fine. There's no different. Many of us own jobs. You've gone to school to be trained with something for a job. When you get back to that job, you still need somebody to help you, even though you've studied it, right? You need somebody to come along and help you do what you've been studying to do. That's the point here. Even though younger women can read their Bibles and know what the Bible says, God says they need older women who have some experience to come along beside them and help them do what they have studied. Yes? Now, by the way, he said the same thing with older men. Older men are to help younger men learn how to live like godly men. Which, again, says that the older men need to make sure we're living like what? Godly men. So I'm not impugning anyone. I'm just simply saying this is a pattern from the Bible. And the world is so determined to distract us from this. It wants us to be so consumed with so many other things that we miss out on this fundamental principle that's designed to help keep the gospel message strong and clear and unstained. Okay? We good so far? You're not mad at me, are you? I mean, I'm not picking on anybody. Because if you notice, we're just doing the women first, but we're going to get to men. So you women, you're going to be vindicated. Don't get your lips all, get bent out of shape. We're going to talk about this, because it's not a one-sided deal. the home is not intended to be lopsided. Yes? That's the reason we're looking at how it's managed. Okay. So, ready to go? You sure? Remember, you said you were ready now, so when we dig into this, don't start pulling back on me. All right. So, the first thing we're going to look at then is how a mother manages her home. Can you find the book of Proverbs? I told you that most of what we're going to look at is from the book of Proverbs rather than moving around the Bible and finding all these principles. They're pretty concisely summarized for us in Proverbs 31. So Proverbs 31, verses 14 and 15, we see that one of the ways that a mother, a Christian mother, manages her home is by providing and preparing food. Now let me say something. What we're about to read here was written to an agrarian society, agricultural emphasized society, about 2,500 years ago. But the principle is still the same, right? We can read the Bible that was written to people over 2,000 years ago and find principles that still help us what? Today. So the same is true here. You together with this? Okay. So don't get distracted by the details as much as the principle. We ready? 31 verses 14 and 15. You got it? She, speaking of, by the way, let me just throw this in. You see verse 10? An excellent wife who can find, she is more precious than jewels. So there's no question that what God is talking about here is the value that he sees in a Christian wife and mother. And the value that the husband and the children will eventually see. They may not see it right away. All right? But a wife and a mother, a husband and father, must receive your encouragement from the Lord first. You cannot depend upon people. Amen. Do what God says, even if you don't get the encouragement from the people in your household. Because that'll help you when you get outside your household, when they don't encourage you on your job or in the church or wherever you are. Your children, get your encouragement from God. You may not get it in the classroom from teachers or teammates. Learn to be encouraged in the Lord. Amen. Right? So what we're reading about here then should be an encouragement to a wife and mother from the Lord. All right? We good so far? I didn't mean to be this wordy, but I want to make sure that we all get this. So you got verse 14? She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. There is no question. Hopefully you can easily see why I said provide and prepare food. Can you see that principle right there? By the way, and I'm trying not to be too wordy, but I really think that this is important. You notice that this mother is particular about the food. She shops around. She selects food that's good for what? Her family. You see, this is the way a mother, this is one of the ways a mother manages her house. Select food that's good for your family. This is really important. Because the world wants to squeeze you so much that you just throw things, whatever you can lay your hands on, here it is. See the difference? God does not want you to be squeezed, the world to squeeze you to where you make this insignificant. This is a significant way that a Christian wife and mother manages her house. Select proper food. Make sure it's prepared right. Yes? Hopefully you see that I'm not trying to manipulate anything. All right, and I don't want to take too long, so I'm just, you get the principle and you chew on it a little bit and think about it. You got this, that's a play on words. I didn't mean for that to do that. So anyway, you get the principle and think about it. So you got to ready for the next one? She provides and prepares food. The second one is that she does this by providing clothing. You got verse 21? Proverbs 31 and verse 21. She, look at this. This is really interesting. She is not afraid of snow for her household. Why is that? That for is because, right? Why is it? You looking at it? For all her household are clothed in scarlet. Now, this is a case where, again, you won't understand what's being said unless you kind of understand what's underneath here. Her household is clothed with double lining. So her household has clothing that's going to keep them warm. So she's not afraid to send her family out in the cold weather. This mother manages her house well enough to know that when my husband and my children go out, they are dressed properly. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Don't make it insignificant. You parents, mothers in particular, don't allow your husband and children to dress any kind of way. Stay on top of it. I know it's challenging. All of us know it's challenging. But you see, this is how we manage our households. We cannot just let it. Any of these things we're talking about, you can just let it go. And your house becomes unmanageable.
Yeah.
We all know it. We haven't gotten to the fathers yet, but it's the same thing. It's no different than cutting the grass. You can either stay on top of it and cut it on a regular basis, or let it go, and then it's a major task when it's grown right for several weeks. So this is the same thing here. Is that I want to keep getting sidetracked. That's the reason the Bible says you train up a what child in the way it should go. So you got to start the training, because you try to catch it way out here after they've had these bad habits so long. All of us, and I'm not saying we did it properly. I'm just saying that this is the way it should have been done. And all of us know that when it's not done this way, it's real challenge to try to catch it after it's been going on so long. But even if it has been going on so long, God says, catch it. Don't just let it keep going because it's been bad. Now that you know what's right, fix it. Yes? Again, I'm not fussing. I'm talking from experience. This is us. We're in this together, right? There's nobody in here that has done, and we're only looking at the wife and mother right now. There's nobody in here that's done all these things perfectly.
Amen.
But God holds the standard there for all of us to say, Lord, I want to live up to that.
Amen.
We good so far? Now, blame Kayla for this. I realize that. We need to dig a little deeper, okay? So we good so far? Preparing food, providing clothing. Ready for the next one? Verse 22 provides furnishings for the home. I'll show you where I get that. She makes bedding covers for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. A Christian wife and mother needs to be concerned about how her house is furnished. That's a part of managing your house. Your house says a lot about you.
Amen.
It's the same way with the father and the way the yard looks or the vehicles or whatever. It says a lot about who's responsible for that part of the, who has the responsibility, right? So keep that in mind, that a Christian mother needs to be concerned about the furnishings in her house. Verse 27, a mother manages her household by keeping it in order. You got verse 27? She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She works hard. I know that's true, on occasions, you know, when Alma has not been feeling well, is having some challenges where she's kind of knocked out of the game, and I have to dive in there and help out. Any man knows that when you're trying to do what that wife and mother is accustomed to doing, it's hard. It's hard, and it's vice versa. I mean, it's the same thing when a wife and a mother is attempting to do what the husband and father normally does, right? It's hard. And so we shouldn't... These things that I'm saying, they're easy to read, but it's work.
Yes, it is.
God said that. You remember after Adam and Eve sinned, he told both, it's going to be work. Life is going to be work for you. And that doesn't just mean a job outside the home. Working in the home is hard work. Keeping it functioning is hard work. And I know for you young people, you get an apartment and you don't think there's anything to it. You just call the landlord and they come and they fix everything. And but when you get your own stuff and realize that keeping things functioning is hard work when nobody's doing it for you. Yes? Okay. So keeping that household, the mother is responsible for instructing and teaching her children. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Have you ever noticed verse 1 of Proverbs 31? Look at it. You may have not ever noticed this before. You see verse 31? The words of King Lemuel, look at the next sentence, an oracle that his mother taught him. Did you ever see that? This was instruction from a mother to her son. Now, most of you, when you think about, as you call it, a virtuous woman, you probably think that God was simply writing to tell a woman how to live. This was a mother telling a son what kind of woman to look for.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that interesting? This mother is telling her son what kind of woman to look for to be your wife.
Amen.
Yes? So wives, mothers and wives, don't minimize the value of teaching your children. Teach your daughters how to live this way. Teach your sons what kind of women to look for. And of course, the most effective way is you be the kind of spouse you want your child to look for. Yes? Okay. And I'm in no way saying this is easy. You know that. I'm just saying that this is the standards. Don't lower the standard because it's hard. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. We can do nothing apart from Christ. But with him, what? All things are possible.
Amen.
I can do all things through what?
Christ
who strengthens me. So don't think that this is this impossible to do. It is not. God would not have put the standard here if we couldn't keep it. We agree? So, now, and I'll try to wrap this up with just a couple more comments. You notice that the Bible says that the wife and mother that lives this way will be trusted by her husband. You got verse 11 and 12? The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Amen. And then finally, the Bible says not only will she be trusted and praised by her, trusted by her husband, she'll be praised by her family. You got verses 28 and 29? Her children will rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Amen. So keep this in mind. I didn't mean to labor on it that long, but I do want you to see the value of a Christian wife and mother and how she manages her home. I vacillated about whether to say this, but I think it's worthwhile. You'll notice the last two verses in Proverbs 31. Can you turn there? You see the last two verses in Proverbs 31? I want to show you that even though the world doesn't want to give credit and value to a mother that keeps home, when a mother lives this way, even the world has to give credit to what she's doing. You see verse 30? Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now you think, okay, that's within the Christian community. I agree with you. But don't stop reading that. Read the last verse. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. That's where her husband is outside working. The value of this woman is spoken of in the workplace. Because she's doing a good job managing her own home. I promise you that this will not go unknown. God makes sure that when we do what he calls us to do, God is the one that exalts. God is the one that tears down. Amen. Just trust on the Lord. He will, in due season, he will make sure that you understand the reward. The fruit of your labor is not in vain. Okay? Everybody good? Amen. All right. Now, the women, you can unfold. You can tell when people get that tight look on you. You know, you can kind of relax now. We're kind of done with the. Hopefully, you understand that this is just this is not picking on anybody. This is just us understanding how it all works. So now the faces get smiley faces come to the women now because we're gonna shift a little bit. We now want to talk for a few minutes about how a Christian husband and father manages. What happened? We all good? Okay. Nobody can leave the room now. We can't. Ernest, we're going to have to get a lock. We're not supposed to put a lock on the door, but we're going to have to make sure that people don't leave when it gets a little bit uncomfortable. Okay, so what about a Christian husband and father? I want to begin the same way with the definition. So can you turn back to 1 Timothy? 1 Timothy 3. And I want to tell you right away that the statements that we read are statements made about qualifications for a man who will lead in the church, right? But leaders in the church are to be models and examples for who? The men that lead are to be models for men in the church. So this is not simply an example or model that the men just look at. This is to be a model that Paul said, what? Follow me, what? As I follow Christ. And so we're going to look at what the Bible has to say about a Christian husband and father and from a leader's perspective and realize that applies to every man. So you got 1 Timothy 3, get that, verse 4 and 5. He must manage his own household well, with all dignity, keeping his children submissive. Verse 5, for if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's house? And then we find the same thing with the deacon down in verse 12. Let the deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing his children and his own household well. So let's start with the definition then of what this managing means. Right away, hopefully you notice that it's a totally different word than we saw for the woman, isn't it? I wrote it out phonetically. That's not Greek, but that's phonetically you can see that this is a different word than we looked at for the woman, yes? So this word is literally the word manage, proestimi, and that it means to exercise a position of leadership. Now, right away, you can see that that's totally different than the description of the word manage for the wife and mother. Yes? Proestimi is the word right here. It means to rule, to direct, or to be the head. So hopefully, right away, you can see that even though the English language appears that it's telling the male and the female to do the same thing, hopefully you can see right away that they're different. Yes? And so it's our charge to dig a little deeper and see what it is that God is requiring. So it means to exercise a position of leadership, to rule, direct, or be at the head. This term typically is used to describe the role of a male in a family or in the church. Okay? So let's look at it. How is it then that a husband and a father, a Christian husband and father, is to manage? We begin with probably the most familiar scripture in the Bible. Can you find Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? One of the ways, and one of the fundamental ways, a Christian husband and father functions is by being the head of his wife. You see verse 22? You got it? Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. We don't need to debate that, right? I don't need to talk about that. That's clearly what the Bible says, and the woman should say amen. That's what God says, so amen. Just as we looked at the things before in Proverbs, we all should say amen to them. Now, so the question is, what does that mean? By the way, verse 22, the word submit, that's a military term, okay? And what it means is if you know anything about the military, in order for the military to function, they have to be what? Lieutenants, I don't know all the orders. There have to be different commanders, right? Now, that doesn't mean that any man is, they're all men. But in order for the military to function, they have to line up under each other and work together, right? That's exactly what this word means. Submit means line up under so you can work together. That's all that he's saying to a wife. Yes? He's saying in order for your home to function, you need to order yourself with your husband. He is the head. So you all line up and agree how you're going to function. Would you good so far? So, by the way, that means that the husband not only has authority, the husband has responsibility. To do what, Willie? To take the lead. The lead in what? That's the issue. The lead in what? And so what I want to say to you is that one of the first things a husband needs to take the lead in is loving. You see, the world doesn't paint that picture. See, the world gives you the picture of the husband, the head. He's the man. He's the macho. He's the, you know, he's got it going. But God says the husband is to take the lead in the things that are essential for the family, the things that make a family effective. And the number one thing that makes a family effective is love.
Amen.
Yes? So you're still in Ephesians 5? Let's keep reading. You got verse 25, you see it? Husbands do what? Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. And then finally, verse 28, in the same way husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Now, you say, well, Willie, that sounds so good. I love my wife. Well, this ain't mushy kind of love here. Now this is where I don't want the husband to bristle up on me now, because I want to talk about what it means to take the lead. We want to be out front. Here it is what it is. You find 1 Corinthians 13? How are we going to be first? You got 1 Corinthians 14? What does it mean to love your wife? Love is patient. Husbands, take the lead in being patient. Yes? Fathers, take the lead in being patient. Love is kind. Fathers, take the lead. By the way, kind isn't just being patting people on the back. And the word kind actually means useful. Fathers need to take the lead in doing what's useful for the family. And I'm going to impugn myself here. I remember And my wife and sons, they get on me all the time when it comes down to presents. I typically don't think about presents early enough. And it's typically revealed that I didn't spend the time I should have thinking about a present. Now, I'm saying that in jest, but if the husband's going to take the lead, we have to take the lead in demonstrating the value of thinking about what the value of presenting a gift to someone, right? That's to lead means that you model all of the things that are important, right? So kindness is doing what's useful. Willie, you need to model doing what's useful to your family. Because I love it when Alma and Philip, sometime Dan, show up with, they spent some time on this. But so you can imagine how they feel when I show up with a card, you know, and from Walgreens and some money. I'm saying this in jest, but the point is that the man really does need to take the lead in demonstrating these qualities to the family, right? What's kind? Love does not envy or boast. Love is not arrogant or rude. And again, I'm just being straight up honest here, right? There are times that I know myself that I'm being rude. When you're having a conversation with someone and you know in your mind you've stopped listening to them, you're waiting for them to stop talking, right? So you can get your point in. That's rude. Now, I'm just talking straight up. And the Bible says, love is not what? Rude. So who? The man needs to take the lead in not being rude. And not interrupting others or whatever, you know, the situation might be, okay? And so what I am saying to you is that we need to think of love as more than just a mushy feeling. Love is, every one of these words is a verb. Yes? Every one of these words is a verb. I don't need to take you through the whole list, but I wanted you to kind of see that love is does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. All of these things I got to work on. I'm serious. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The man needs to take the lead in those. The man shouldn't be the first one to bring the accusation, to assume the worst of the spouse or the children. The man should be the one that's believing until the facts, the evidence is in, okay? So I'm saying that the man then at the head needs to take the lead in these things. The man also needs to take the lead in living with the wife in an understanding way. I don't know what version you have, but some of your versions in 1 Peter 3:7 might say live with the wife in a knowledgeable way. You say, well, Brother Willie, what does that mean? That basically means that a husband needs to spend time knowing what his wife is like. Understand her weaknesses. Understand her strengths. Understand what she... somebody wrote a book a little while back, Men Are From Something, wherever, and Women Are... And that's the reason is that we think differently. When we say words, you know, men typically mean it, and men have to understand what your wife says. When she says something, what does she mean? Not necessarily what she say. What does she mean? So the man has to, when the Bible says to live with your wife in an understanding way, It says you literally need to have knowledge about your wife. Know your wife. And that's one of the ways that you manage your home. And I'm saying, man, we're just talking straight up here. That's a lot of work. Because your wife, none of us are static. We're all changing. And so God's challenge to us is know your wife as she is now, not how she was when you married her, nor as she is now. That's a part of managing your home, your household. Okay? Part of being the head. Now, I knew I was going to get some silence on this. That's all right. These are the kinds of things that we want to lay hold of if we're going to manage our households the way God says. Obviously, hopefully, I don't have to convince anyone that one of the ways a husband and father, a Christian husband and father, manages his household is providing for the family's physical needs, right? 1 Timothy, if a Christian doesn't provide, man doesn't provide for his own household, he's worse than a what? An unbeliever. And so you know that. 5:8. The other important issue is that a Christian husband and father has to provide spiritual leadership. Can you turn to Genesis 18 and verse 19? Spiritual leadership. God here speaking of Abraham says, "For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him," right? As the spiritual leader, God knew that Abraham would do this. He would be a true spiritual leader in his family. Y'all remember when near the end of Joshua's life, there at the end of the book of Joshua, he was exhorting some of this rebellious Israelites. Choose this day, what? Whom you will serve. He ended that by saying, ask for what? Me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You see, that's spiritual leadership. Now, how could he say that? He couldn't say that and then check back with his wife. Is that all right? You see the problem here? They had to be one before he had to take. See, a husband and wife have to be one before you have to get on the front line like that. Yes? Spiritual leadership says, I know my wife. I understand my wife. We're together. I don't have to check with her on this point, on this issue. But you don't do that unless that husband is spending time really knowing your wife. Yes? Now, these are just practical things that we need to think through. We're almost done. I'm thinking about... No, I won't say that. So we're almost there. The next thing then is that this Christian husband and father needs to provide discipline and instruction for children. This is probably one of the more familiar verses in the New Testament, right? Ephesians 6, 4. I think we even covered this yesterday in men's meeting. This particular verse spoken directly to fathers says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, this is really important for fathers because a father typically is the one that says, I'm the man of this house. What I tell you, you do. This verse says that's not the end of it. So the Bible says that the way a Christian father raises his children is by discipline and then instruction. Not only tell them what to do and what not to do, but tell them the reason why. Okay? To train a child means that you give them teaching. This is why you don't go here. This is why you don't touch a hot stove. This is, you know, you don't just spank and say, don't do that. There's a reason for it. That's Christian fathering, okay? Discipline and instruction, right? Discipline and instruction. And finally, Keeping the children submissive and under control. We saw that one in 1 Timothy 3:4. Now, I really struggled with how to portray this. And this is probably not the best way, but I want to explain this in just a minute. I want you to listen to my statement before I talk about this. When a man marries a woman, they become unified. They become one in managing their household with defined responsibilities. Both are working together toward the same goal. Amos 3:3. How can two walk together unless they are in agreement, right? That literally says, unless they're going to the same place. Husband and wife can't walk together if we haven't agreed that we're going over there. Yes? And so that's what I'm saying about a Christian husband and wife. We are together on where we're going. When Joshua says, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, we're already together on where we're going. Yes? And now, and so listen to me. This is so exciting to me. And I think it will be to you. What I'm telling you here is that this is a clear message of the gospel. What I'm telling you here is that when Christian husband, father, wife, mother, and children live like this, they present the gospel for people to see. That's what Ephesians 5 says. That when a husband loves his wife, like what? Christ loved the church. People see what it's like when Christ loved the church. When a father disciplines his child with instruction, they see what it's like when the heavenly Father disciplines us. This is the gospel message that God wants to communicate. Managing our household is important. It's the way we communicate the gospel without ever opening your mouth. You see why I'm trying to be so passionate about this issue? This is the gospel message. Now, you say, Brother Willie, what is this? I wasn't that good at graphics. I thought about trying to get an umbrella. But the point is that you remember what I told you about lining up functionally? This is my attempt of showing how a husband and a wife line up functionally to work together, right? The husband as the head or the protector, the mother then as working together with him, and the children being submissive. I want you to think about that list we went through. What I tried to do here is to show the things that are unique to the mother. We're going to show you the things that are unique to the father. And then I want to show you the things that they have to do together, right? What's unique to the mother? Preparing the food. You have nothing. And that doesn't say that men can't cook. But the mother has the what? The responsibility. What's unique to the mother? Keeping the house in order. That doesn't say that the men can't help, but the mother has the what? Primary responsibility. The Bible says that that mother will be trusted by her husband and praised by the family. What's unique to the father? He is the head of the wife. The wife is never the head of the husband. Yes? We don't need to debate that. What's unique? He is charged to love the wife and to live with her in an understanding way. He is charged with spiritual leadership and keeping the children submissive. Then the Bible tells us that that father will be respected by his family. What do they do together? You might not have thought of this. Did you notice that both of them provide food? Did you notice that both of them provide clothing? Did you notice that both of them provide furnishings for the household? Both of them teach children, and both of them make and save money. Well, what are you saying, Brother Willie? This is what real Christian homes look like. It's not husband fighting against wife, and I'm not saying that we won't have marital issues. I'm not saying we won't have rebellious children. I am saying to you that God says this is the pattern. And when you function this way, you will be an effective family, and the gospel will be seen truly and clearly. Therefore, brothers and sisters, who manages the Christian home? the wife or the husband, the mother or the father, the male or the female, the answer is what? They both manage the Christian home. Both have a significant role. Two Christians working together in harmony as one. Husband and wife, father and mother understand God's design, God's plan, and God's pattern, both being fulfilled as they manage things for which they are responsible. This is God's plan. Mothers are loved, admired, and praised. Fathers are respected, encouraged, and obeyed. And children are nurtured, developed, and fulfilled. The gospel message is presented by example for others to see. And the glory belongs to God because it's His plan. No Christian family gets glory. It wasn't our idea. God gets all the glory. And if there's someone here today who's not in the Christian family, this would be a wonderful day for you to surrender and come to Christ. A wonderful day for you to know Christ as Lord and Savior. A wonderful day for you to be set free. Lord, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together contemplating what the Christian family looks like, contemplating how the Christian family functions, contemplating what's required of us to manage the Christian home. I want to thank you for every Christian wife and mother that submits herself to your will and your way and your plan for her home. I want to thank you for every Christian father that submits himself to your will, your way, your plan for the home. I want to thank you for every child that has become a Christian and submitted themselves to your will for their lives. I want to thank you for the opportunity of presenting the gospel through our families. Thank you for choosing and bringing us out of darkness that we might shine as lights in this world, that others might see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Would you be pleased now to rivet these truths to our heart, to help us to live for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take a few minutes and bow together. And if there are any comments afterwards.